The fifth chapter is entirely devoted to various descriptions of symbolic meditations. We are told here that various symbols can be taken as helps in meditation on the reality. Just as we can reach the ocean through any river in the world, inasmuch as the total reality cannot be envisaged by the senses or conceived by the mind, some visible form of it is taken as a prop in meditation. But the object of meditation chosen is not the end of meditation, it is only a means to a transcendence of the quality of meditation through that object. We have to rise gradually from the external symbol, the form of the object chosen, to its deeper implications, which are subtler than the visible gross form of the symbol and subtler even than what we can conceive as the subtle reality behind it. It has a transcendent form, and when it reaches its transcendent state, it also ceases to be an external object. The more you go deep into the nature of an object, the more you realize its affinity with your own existence. But the more you conceive of its externality and grossness of form, the more remote it appears to be from us. So that the grosser is our concept of an object, the farther it is from us, and the more difficult it is to come in contact with it. But the deeper we go in its insight, it reveals its connection with us in its essentiality. As we go into the depths of the ocean and realize the background of all the waves on the surface, which apparently are different one from the other. So, is the principle in outline of these symbolic meditations. We are also told in this chapter that there are three great obstacles to spiritual approach, and they are the weaknesses of personality, whether it is celestial or human or demoniacal. Every personality has a defect of its own, a characteristic weakness of its own, which has to be overcome by great effort. Otherwise, the finitude of that personality would get emphasized by the repeated acquiescence in the weakness of the personality mentioned, which has to be overcome by deep meditation, the principles of which have been described in the symbolic methods mentioned. The urge of the mind to run after objects of sense is one weakness. It is characteristic of everyone. The mind rushes to objects outside and it cannot rest quiet without them. Day and night the mind is thinking of something outside. This is the weakness of a superior quality. Everything else comes after it. So, this weakness has to be tackled properly. Why does the mind run after objects? What is its secret? What does it expect from these objects? While history has shown that every attempt at contact with objects has ended in the misery of the individual, why is it that there is a repeated attack on the object by the senses and the mind. This is the organic weakness of individuality. The other finitude, other form of finitude or weakness is greed, the desire to appropriate everything to one's own self. You have no desire to share anything with others. The more you would like to have, the better it is. Each for oneself and devil take the hindmost. Each one is fond of oneself much more than one is attached to anyone else. When a test is made, it will be found that one loves one's own self much more than anyone else. Finally, one would try to save oneself only when a cataclysm or a catastrophe threatens a person. This is the principal greed, the love of one's own self, which manifests itself as greed for objects outside, wealth, property, acquisition, etc. The more you have it, the still more you want to have it. It is an irrational trait in the individual to appropriate things, even those things which may not belong to oneself. The third weakness is finding joy in the suffering of others, inflicting pain upon others, cruelty of any kind, harm done to others. This is the demoniacal instinct, where we get enraged and we commit violence upon other living beings for different reasons. The tendency to commit violence, wreak vengeance, do harm, injury, bring about destruction in respect of others is a weakness. Greed, by which one appropriates things to oneself, is a weakness. And attachment to things, the great passion for objects, is another weakness. So as long as these weaknesses are preponderating in oneself, spiritual aspiration is out of question. God realization is far from one's reach. So the Upanishad, by way of an anecdote or a story, tells us that the great creator Prajapati himself told the celestials, the humans and the demons, that they should restrain themselves, that they should be charitable and they should be compassionate. Dhamyata, Datta, Dayadho. These were the instructions given by Prajapati to his children, the celestials, the humans and the demons.